following podcast is brought to you by the Communications and Media Studies Department of Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Stick, and this is the Bam Dunk Podcast, where we'll recap the latest news across the sport. Welcome back to the Bam Dunk Podcast. Today, we have a special guest, DJ Kempicher. He runs his own radio show called Pigskin Through Time, Tuesdays, 9 a.m., where he talks about all the latest NFL news. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about the NFL draft, and I was really wondering, Kemp, who do you have going number one overall right now?
Well, I feel like that'd be a pretty obvious answer. You know, we got the quarterback that won the national championship, the man, the myth, the legend, Fernando Mendoza. And yeah, I think he'll be a solid fit for the Raiders. You know, initially this was a tight race between Fernando Mendoza and Dante Moore. And then obviously Dante Moore said opt out and take an extra year at Oregon, which really messed up the whole way this draft was originally viewed. But yeah, I believe he's probably going to be the only quarterback, in my humble opinion, taking the first round. We got other great picks after him, mainly those three main players from Ohio State. They're looking like great prospects.
I totally agree with you, Kemp. Dante Moore dropping out of the draft really hurts this quarterback class, but we'll have to see what's there. Ty Simpson's projected to be a late second round pick, but another big name in this class is Jeremiah Love, and I've had a couple questions about where he's going in this draft. Where do you think he might land?
Well, I mean, personally, I'm not the biggest guy on running backs. You know, it's a really tricky position, especially in the last couple years. I mean, the last big names I can think of that have been drafted extremely highly were like Saquon Barkley, Bijan Robinson. And to me, I don't think he's going in that same realm of like top five or even a top 10. I think he'll get taken actually at number 12 by the Cowboys. I know they got Javonte Williams, who's a great running back, but I think it would just be a good pairing for him. I know before that year they had Rico Dowdle with them, had his 1,000-yard rushing year. But I think he'll be a good fit in that system, especially with how Dallas runs their stuff.
So with Mendoza being at number one, who do you have going second overall to the New York Jets?
You know, I got another guy who I think, I'll be honest, it's very defensive heavy with Aaron Glenn at head coach, the former Lions DC. But I think I want Avril Reese on this. You know, outstanding linebacker for Ohio State. Those three guys on defense, like I mentioned earlier, can't really go. I feel like you can't go wrong with them. Some might be considered reaches. You know, some are showing some PTSD from previous draft picks from the same positions that didn't work out. You know, so I got Avril Reese at number two for the Jets. I actually have Caleb Downs going number four. I think he's going to be like the highest pick safety ever, kind of like Kyle Hamilton. He shows very similar like flashes of just pure athleticism. I think he's very capable of performing. And lastly, I think Sony Styles Jr., you know, I think in a Harbaugh system, I think Harbaugh, very defensive-minded guy, can use him well. Does scare me a bit because, you know, we had Isaiah Simmons back, I believe, in 2020, who very similar build, like played every position, absolute freak of an athlete, but could not be properly utilized in the system he was in. And I believe that's what Sony Styles Jr. brings in, at least if he gets drafted fifth by the Giants.
Yeah, I have Sony Styles going sixth overall to the Cleveland Browns right now. But like you said, he's kind of an all-around gadget type of player on this defense. And it'll be very interesting to see where he ends up in this draft. But another team with a lot of high draft picks this year is the runner-up, the Miami Hurricanes. Where do you have Reuben Bain Jr. and Francis Maioga going?
Well, I mean, it's really funny to think that the Miami's best players are like always part of like their front, you know, like their O-line, your D-line, you know, getting force reps against each other, especially on inside run. If you've ever done that drill, it's a nightmare. No, but I got Reuben Bain Jr., though, going number seven to the Washington Commanders. I think Dan Quinn just would love another defensive edge, you know, bring back some like more containment on the runs, you know what I mean? As well as Francis Menungai going out to Miami. I think he's staying home in Miami. He's going to Dolphins. Really, I think he's a pick you can't go too wrong with. He's just a big body tackle, very great footwork and hands. I think that's his best scheme fit overall. I mean, a lot of teams do need tackles, I feel like, this year. However, the teams that need the tackles aren't picking as early.
Yeah, I agree. I have Francis Maioga going 10th, actually, to the New York Giants, but this class is very offensive line heavy. But with that 10th pick, the New York Giants breaking trade last night, trading away Dexter Lawrence to the Bengals. What do you have to say about that?
Well, that was a big surprise, you know. On top of that, too, and it was earlier today as well, because you know his nickname is Sexy Dexy Lawrence. You can call him anything, but Dexter Lawrence actually got a contract extension. It really wasn't, because he got a one-year, $28 million deal from the Bengals, which is more surprising because that organization, in my opinion, is poorly ran, at least from the GM to owner. You know, there's been a lot of issues. Like last year, they had a draft pick holdout, but I mean, I think Harbaugh saw an opportunity to free up some cap space, keep the team young. I know Dexter Lawrence is a great leader on that line. Like, it's going to be something that's going to be very well missed. I know they got Brian Burns as well, who for that front seven, you know, he keeps a great presence. So I think they just have to go just get an interior guy later on the draft, but very shocking. Bengals, to me, I mean, they always struggle being in the year. They're always a second-half team. The only conference that actually didn't fire their coach. Incredible. But, yeah, that's all I really got. I mean, it's a very interesting situation. But even at 10, I got Jermond McCoy going. I think they slowed up on defense with Harbaugh. I think because he basically got to choose where he wanted to go. That's a very rare thing for coaches to even think about. And, yeah. And all because a single kicker missed a field goal to win a game.
Yeah, crazy end of the year, John Harbaugh. But for the Bengals, I think this is really what they needed. They kind of been off and on defense. They lost Trey Hendrickson over the offseason, and now they finally made a move to bolster this D-line that have been so underwhelming for them this past couple of years. And here they are making trades. Last thing about this upcoming NFL draft, what are some risers that you have? I personally have Kenyon Sadiq going 12th to the Dallas Cowboys, which is a little bit of a reach. But, I mean, he's all you can ask for. He's basically Hercules out there on the field. He's the biggest, he's the fastest, the strongest player out there. And why wouldn't you draft him?
Yeah, that's very fair. You know, he's a phenomenal athlete, you know. We had the last notable tight end to go really high was Kyle Pitts, but like the last notable one to me was last year's Tyler Warren, who I think he could show very similar flashes. I think Sadiq is more of an athlete. Like, he would use like more of a Kelsey kind of tight end where he just catches everything and then just your big body. Personally, for me, though, in this draft, my main riser is going to be Jordan Tyson going 6th overall to the Browns. I think it's a 3-person race for like the first wide receiver off the board. Particularly, I got Jordan Tyson, I think, is the highest upside. I mean, you have Tate, you know, for Ohio State. He's a pretty good receiver, pretty well balanced, but he wasn't even his own wide receiver one. I know Jeremiah Smith's insane, as well as Mekhi Lemon, you know, the Blitnikoff winner. I think it's a very balanced area where I think all three you can't go wrong with. However, if you want the biggest and most best upside imaginable, like very high ceiling, very low floor, I'm going with Tyson. I think that's where we go. I think that's what the Browns are seeing in it. Carnell Tate, you know, I think he'll be the next one right off the board, and then Lemon will be the last, but I think they all have very good up and downsides.
I totally agree. For a class this defensive heavy, there are definitely some very good pass catchers on this board. All right, moving away from the draft a little bit, let's look forward to this season. Who do you think can make it out of the NFC and the AFC to have a chance at the Super Bowl? Do you think Seattle's gonna run it back, or is it the Rams' time this year?
Well, I mean, it was very, I mean, that whole NFC West, all of last year was insanely difficult. You know, Niners were hanging on a thread in that division, and everyone, the electrical fields are messing with them. But, and that was with the injured team, they still went 12-5, the same record as the Rams. The Seahawks went 14-3. I mean, they lost to the Niners early in the year, but they were able to prove strong in that playoff game where it was a beatdown. But honestly, I mean, I think a really sneaky team, I think, would be the Bears. I know they lost a couple of key pieces on defense, but I think they're kind of a little underdog for the NFC as well. Them, Seattle, and the Rams are my top three on that. For the AFC, though, I mean, it's kind of hard to miss on the Bills and Patriots, you know, especially after the year Drake May had. It's just, but I mean, out of them too, I mean, Denver's always another solid option. Very well coached with Sean Payton. And I mean, you could have a couple, like, just guys you don't expect, you know. I mean, Cincinnati could have a good year for once. You never know. Indianapolis, you know, they had such a great start and such a bad fall off. I mean, if they can fix that, you know, Daniel Jones comes back healthy, you might not know, you know, you have a team that goes, instead of going 8-9 missing playoffs last year, losing like 8 straight, you might have a team that's capable of winning 14 games. I think very realistically, we have the Colts and Bears make the playoffs and have good runs, but it all really comes down to health of these teams and how well they're coached.
I totally agree. I think another surprise playoff contender this year could be the New York Giants, who went 4-13 last year. This team is completely different. They're coming back with a healthy Jackson Dart and a healthy Cam Scadaboo and new coaches from John Harbaugh with plenty of signings from like Isaiah Likely. I think this team could be different. But what are some teams you think could maybe fall this year and not have the same outcome as last year?
Well, you know, I think an obvious one would be probably the Steelers. You know, they went 10-7 last year, but they fired Tomlin after the first playoff game. He's been in the consistency of mediocrity where they are slightly above 500 wins each season, sometimes make the playoffs, but they haven't won a playoff game since 2017. And, you know, they went 10-7. Tomlin's never had a losing season, but now Tomlin's gone. So how's the culture change? How do the players change? Is Rodgers a for sure fit? I mean, it's a lot of key pieces, as well as the team that beat him in the playoffs, the Texans. If C.J. Stroud has another down year, it'll be rough for him. I know, D'Amico Ryans is a great coach, but there's only so much he can really do with that offense.
I completely agree with you, Kemp. I feel like Jacksonville can also have a little bit of a down year. They really exceeded expectations last year, but we'll have to see who they go out and get in this draft. All right, looking into more of the predictions, who do you have as your MVP this year? Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen are leading favorites with +550 odds, and Joe Burrow's right behind him, who could join Peyton Manning as the only quarterback drafted number one overall to win an MVP in this millennium. But who do you think has a chance?
You know, for me, I'm not thinking really, like, I love Lamar, I love Joe Burrow, I love Patrick, I love Josh Allen, like, I love all those guys. But to me, I don't think they are the front runners for MVP right now. To me, I think it's still Drake May. You know, Drake May for the Patriots, I think he's still in a great system. You know, Diggs is gone, but I don't think Diggs was the biggest contributor in that offense. I think he's just that solid of a quarterback, especially if he gets a good weapon out of the draft. But, you know, I think that's who I got for my MVP front runner this year.
Really? Even after the Super Bowl performance we saw from him?
In his defense, that was Seattle. But, like, that was the top defense, you know. Especially when you get it kind of just exposed more holes on that on their O-line, you know. The pass rush was getting there, at least for pressure-wise. But if anything, I mean, I think he didn't do terribly in that game, you know. Kind of a bailout before the Broncos with Bo Nix. But, I mean, that was a snow game. Can't pick up weather conditions, you know. But, I mean, those regular season games, he was balling out, and I remember him well. Like, he had insane passer efficiency, something I haven't seen really since, Rodgers in his, 2020 MVP campaign. He makes, when he throws a ball, there's a higher chance than anyone else that it's going to be completed.
I like that take a lot. I really do, Kemp. But I'm looking here at Jaden Daniels. I really think that this team could be good if they can get a good wide receiver, too, to back up McLaurin. And Jaden Daniels could be healthy all year. I really like Daniels coming into his third year.
Well, I'm just a little worried because, you know, last year the injuries piled up on him, especially on the arm. I know it wasn't his throwing arm, but it changes how you play, man. Like, personally, I think it's going to change, especially how he scrambles, you know, how he deals with pressure. It changes a lot more mentally than physically for him. But I think he is very much so a very good quarterback for front running. I think a couple more names I think of, who I think, especially if they have really good up years, just more key pieces like Bryce Young or Caleb Williams, you know. To me, they're very systematic quarterbacks in the sense of they run their system, they run it well. But if they are able to capitalize on all that opportunity, you know, I think there's a chance like we might have them in the conversation, you know. Bryce Young has Teroy McMillan at his wide receiver. Chicago, you know, they got Roma Dunze, they got Burks, you know, they got all that, they got all those weapons right there, you know.
Yeah, a lot of guys that could be good this year. A lot of guys. But thank you guys for listening again to the Bam Dunk Podcast. And thank you, DJ Kempeter, for joining me on this show today. I appreciate all of you, and I will see you guys next week.